Welcome to the Ancient World podcast. So today we're going to first of all say welcome to all the new listeners, and it's really nice to see how many people are following this Dante series, the first 9 cantos. It's full of substance and important stuff, so it's heartwarming and it's inspiring, so thank you for that. And today we're going to talk about, we have 3 different topics. The first one is the angelical orders. We're going to go a bit deeper into what they mean, which is both in 9 orders around this kind of the center of light in paradise, and also they are governing the 9 spheres that Dante is having a journey through. So the angelical orders, and then we're going to look at the letter from Dante to his patron, Can Grande de la Scala, who paid for the work, and the comedy is dedicated to him, and he lived in Verona. And then the third part today is going to be the beginning of the 5th sphere when Dante is arriving in Mars. And it's a whole new atmosphere, and it's more positive, and it's more kind of, there's more strength to it, which is one of the themes of that sphere. But first, we're going to look at the angelical orders. So we talked about this before. We have 9 orders. From the top is seraphims, cherubims, thrones, dominions, virtues or strongholds, powers, principalities, archangels, and angels. So angels are the 9th level, but they are then corresponding to the 1st sphere. So it's inverted in a sense. Angels means, the word angel means messenger, archangel. So arch means source or beginnings, like archaeology is knowledge about the beginnings. Archetype is the source model. And then archangel is a source or beginning angel. So they are the messengers. So we're going to talk about just the 1st 5 briefly, since we've been through 4 spheres and now starting on the 5th. So the angels are guardians. And they are closer to the earthly life. They are more like human souls. And this is also why in the 1st sphere, when Dante is seeing the spirits, he sees them more. He sees the features of people coming towards him. And this is reflected by the sphere that is guarded, governed by the angels. Okay, the 2nd, archangels. They were the ones who announced messages of special importance or sacredness. And then in the 2nd sphere, this is where we get the explanation of theology concerning the crucifixion and other kind of deep fundamental questions. The 3rd level is principalities. And they are concerned with regulating and establishing the earthly principalities or states with territories and boundaries. And in that sphere, the 3rd one we had from the Sicilian Vespro, like the Vesper, the evening prayer in 1282. So this is like real history, when the Sicilians rose up against the French and drove them off the island. It was a brief moment of independence for Sicily. And the 4th one is the powers. They are representative of divine power and majesty. They are combating powers of darkness and diseases. So this is in the sphere of the sun. So we went through the sphere of the sun in detail back in September. And 2 of the main figures are Saint Francis and Saint Dominic. And they are then healers of avarice and heresy. And they also provide remedies for this through Saint Francis through poverty. And then Saint Dominic is through creating doctrine. They were also symbols of love and knowledge. And the 5th one, which is Mars, that we're going to start on, that 3rd part today, they are called virtues. So these angelical beings represent divine strength and fortitude. They represent also the unconquerable valor and courage. So they make the things in God strong and valiant, and endurance unto death, which we will see briefly how this is represented in the 5th sphere. And then there's also it's also going to be, you could see this also in a way that Dante, like he's going to meet a special person in the fifth sphere, which will make him understand that he will need strength and endurance in his own life. So that's briefly the fifth lower levels of the angelical beings, and we'll take more on the rest of them as we go along in the journey in paradise. So that's the angelical part. And then Dante's famous letter to Can Grande della Scala. We're just going to mention two small things here. It's the whole letter is about 10, 15 pages. And Dante is laying out the whole comedy with the purpose, his intention, and also interpretation, what he means. And also in detail, he goes through this whole structure of the work. It's very interesting to read. But the two things we just wanted to mention today is, first, he talks about the form of the work. This is the whole comedy. And he says that you have six things to be looked at the beginning of any doctrinal work, which is the subject, the actor, the form, the purpose, the title. And the sixth one is also very interesting, the type of philosophy. So in Dante's view, you have to look at what kind of philosopher a writer is to understand within which worldview or tradition a work is being created. And Dante is very much into Aristotelian philosophy. And also then Thomas Aquinas and the scholasticism, blending the Catholic faith with the Greek philosophy and the Greek heritage. So the second thing from this letter to notice is he talks about the purpose here, or the subject. So he says, the subject is man, either gaining or losing merit through his freedom of will, subject to the justice of being rewarded or punished. This is a key thing to the whole work and to understanding, like, the practical advice that Dante is trying to give us in the earthly life through his books. So the main point here is, like, you have free will and you can gain or lose merit according to how you use your freedom of will. And then the justice will be rewarding or rewards or punishments. But there's a consistent theme in the whole of the comedy that there is, like, there's no one judging you and punishing you for your deeds. But what you do has consequences just by nature. So some actions will create negative consequences. So when Dante's in Inferno and he thinks that the punishment is a little bit hard and brutal, the explanation is that they chose this destiny through their actions. So some things in life, if you do certain types of actions, it's just it's a neutral dynamic in how the world works. And this is why Dante says that it's important to try to learn and understand this, because then you can make a better life for yourself. So it's we had this in the sphere where, like, he's treating the vows and the free will, that like you give in free will and then how you use it, and especially if you sacrifice some of your free will for a greater cause, this is a deep spiritual thing and like a dynamic. So we're going to take more from the letter eventually. We just want to have a little dip into it. And some of it is more overall, so we have to wait till we have read a little bit more in paradise. Okay, so that was the second part. And now for the third part, when Dante comes to Mars. So this is in the middle of Canto 14. And it's a really nice beginning here. The transition from the fourth sphere of the sun, the sphere of knowledge, that we did four or five episodes in September. The fourth sphere ends with, and suddenly Around us was a light growing as bright as all the light it circled, like a horizon brightening with the dawn. Just as at twilight all across the heavens new things appear, the faint appearances of what we see or what we seem to see, so I began to see, it seemed, new shapes of spirits forming there, making a ring around the other two circumferences. So this is the mysterious ending of the fourth one. And this is, some part of this is like, it's a, the sphere is about knowledge. And also kind of, in, it's inferred like future knowledge. So as Dante is representing the main themes of every sphere as it's moving along, like in the second sphere, those who are too concerned about the earthly and fame, then Dante is presenting the Romeo figure, which is himself, and then and says that Romeo was too vain, he should have had more glory in his life for his writings and what was in his heart. And then Dante is like, he's making it clear that he's talking about himself, but he's doing this also then with the excuse that we're at that point in the second sphere, so that's where people are too concerned about this. And in the same way, we had the third one where you have those who are more too overly passionate. So when Dante is attacking Florence and he's attacking Rome in the church, he's very aggressive, and that is a reflection of the theme of the sphere. Okay, so, and then since the fourth one is about knowledge, this, between the lines in this mystery is that Dante is reaching this level of divine knowledge that he can't express. So this mysterious third ring of spirits that comes outside the first two ones is since kind of inferring or implying that this is intelligence and knowledge beyond the human capacity to understand. Okay, so this, all of this is warm up to the fifth sphere. So now we're now coming to Mars. So he says, I was aware of having risen higher because I saw the star's candescent smile glow redder than it ever had before. So if you remember now, this is about divine strength and fortitude. And this is also the warriors of faith. And we will see how this is represented. Then in language common to all men, with all my heart I made an offering unto the Lord befitting his fresh grace. The language common to all men is the language of the heart. So he's then doing a silent prayer as a thanksgiving. Nor had the sacrifice within my breast ceased burning when I knew my prayer of thanks had been accepted and propitiously, for which such mighty sheen, such ruby glow, within twin rays such splendor came to me. I cried, O Helios, who adorns them so. Helios is a Greek sun god. So we're now seeing two bands of light forming in this enormous cross in the sphere of Mars. Just as the Milky Way adorned with stars, some large, some small, gleams white between the poles, baffling the wisest of astrologers. So, constellated in the depths of Mars, these rays of light crossed in the holy sign which quadrants make when joining in a circle. This is in some ways describing a Greek cross, like where the arms are with equal length. So within the circle, and you have this like squares within the circle, and then these two bands are then forming this cross with kind of right angles to it. But here my memory defeats my art. I see that cross as it flames forth with Christ, yet cannot find the words that will describe it. But who takes up his cross and follows Christ will pardon me for what I leave unsaid. Beholding heaven's whiteness glow with Christ. From top to base, across from arm to arm, Bright lights were moving, sparkling brilliantly, as they would meet and pass each other's glow. So, here on Earth, along a shaft of light that sometimes streaks the shade that men devise by means of arts and crafts for their protection, our eyes see particles of matter move. Straight or aslant, some swift, some floating slow, an ever-changing scene of shapes and patterns. So he's comparing this vision of the cross with all the souls like stars, and like all the stars in the Milky Way, like, and they're moving around the same way that if you have a little opening, the image here is nice. It's kind of a very down-to-earth image, suddenly as a contrast. But if you have an opening into a shaded area and you have a little shaft of light, you can see the dust particles kind of moving and kind of glimmering in this beam of light. And this is how it describes all the souls and how they're moving around. And they represent the warriors of faith. So we're into the strength and the warrior sphere. And as the viol and harp, their many strings tuned into harmony will ring out sweetly, even for the one who does not catch the tune. So from the spread of lights along the cross, there gathered in the air a melody that held me in trance, though I could not tell what the hymn was. So now the music theme is suddenly becoming so central to his experience. So this is as we move upwards in the spheres, the music is becoming more and more important. So you have stronger lights and more music. And this is also in the medieval cosmology and theology that the harmony of music is something divine. It's the language of the divine. So I could not tell what the hymn was, only that it sang of highest praise. I heard arise and conquer, as one who hears but does not understand. So now he's introducing the theme of conquest and strength. This music raised my soul to heights of love. Until that moment, nothing had existed that ever bound my soul in such sweet chains. So he's describing a new level of an experience and the strength, also with love. But this, perhaps, may seem too rash a statement, forgetting, as it were, those lovely eyes, the source of bliss in which my gaze finds rest. So he's talking about Beatrice again. But since those vivid crowning beauties grow in strength the higher they ascend, and since I had not turned to look at them as yet, one must excuse me for what I excuse myself of to excuse myself and see the truth. That sacred joy is not excluded, since it grows in perfection as we rise. So he's wrapping it up that this happens many places, that he thinks something is competing with the beauty and the love and the intensity of just the divine light shining in Beatrice. But then he looks at her again and looks into her eyes, and then he sees that she has become even more intense and strong. So this is how it ends with her. He just talks about her eyes again. And then overall, again, for this sphere, the color red is also important, like red as love and strength and aggression. And this is also then, Mars is the god of war in the Roman mythology, taken from the Greek mythology. So the theme is the warriors, and then the angelical beings is the virtues. And then we'll very quickly get to how this is connected to Dante's destiny as he meets his great-great-grandfather, who will tell him about his future as compared to when he is experiencing the journey, and then what he would need of strength and endurance. And also, back to the endurance part, the whole image of the cross is then a very important example of the necessity of the strength of endurance, even dying on the cross. In the theology part of the work here. Okay, so we're going to stop it there, and hope some of this was interesting. We also worked a bit on the sound settings at the end there. So I hope the sound is a little bit better. And we're going to keep working on also the production part. And as always, hope some of this was interesting, and hope you'll keep listening to the episodes about the paradise. There's much more great stuff to come. And as always, thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.